This is Pastor Dean Proctor from Queensway Baptist Church in Brantford, Ontario, Canada. You're listening to a podcast of one of our latest sermons. At Queensway, we seek to impact lives for Jesus in this generation and in generations to come. As you listen to this podcast, we trust you'll be blessed. Wasn't that good news? If you're wired like me, that may not be the best news you've had today. Patience is not the most evident fruit of the Spirit in my life. It's there, it's just not the most evident one. Waiting is not necessarily my strong suit. As I said at the beginning, we ended last Sunday the season of Advent. We, week by week, emotion by emotion, action by action, readied ourselves, prepared, and yes, waited for the coming of the Christ child. Waiting together to mark, as we did three different times on Christmas Eve, the first entry of the Lord Jesus into this world and into creation. His entry with the express purpose that you and I would be saved from our sins. The very real events that follow his birth are recorded in primarily in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and in the letters. But the truth is, as I said earlier, Advent is still happening. It's just a different Advent. It's the second Advent now. And this Advent has been unfolding for over 2,000 years so far. And we still wait. We continue to wait. Readying, anticipating, yeah, waiting. The video that started us off talked about waiting and those who wait on the Lord. The video mentioned several different scriptures that speak to that. Psalm 5 was one of them. Psalm 27 was another. Psalm 130. It mentioned the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. But this morning I want to go back with you to what Pastor Ryan read earlier from Isaiah chapter 40. And I want to just consider that with you and some of what Ryan reminded us of this morning. When he began reading, we note that Isaiah chapter 40 opens with a double imperative, a double command. That above all, we're to comfort God's people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then this voice, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That imperative to comfort God's people is mentioned at least six more times in the book of Isaiah alone. And that comfort in this particular chapter comes through three different voices. There's a voice in chapter verse 3, there's a voice in verse 6, and there's a voice in verse 9. In verse 3, that voice is one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The comfort that Isaiah is writing about there, crying out with the news of God's salvation, crying out with the caution, the warning, the invitation to get ready, well, that's actually still the message that the church has been entrusted with. And it's interesting that that message is increasingly less popular, that it is increasingly, seemingly more and more ignored. You see, because this voice that says, get ready, God is coming, that's a prophetic voice. It's a voice that says, be excited about this, but also be warned about this. Don't say when it happens that you didn't know. People, get ready. That's the message that the church has to offer still today. People, get ready. The kingdom of God is near to you. That's the message. The true church will always speak that truth. The kingdom of God is near. Even when the church feels like, when the prophetic voice of the church feels like it is shouting into a wilderness where the word is not being heard, can't be heard, or won't be heard. But it's not just words. It's not just words that we're using to bring that prophetic word out, that prophetic voice out. We also have actions that the church is meant to exhibit while we wait. Remember, this is all while we're waiting for the Lord. The actions are about removing obstacles, as we read from Isaiah there, removing obstacles from the spiritual paths of others. And we do that with our own sense of expectation and anticipation. It's not just something that we have to do. It's something we do because Jesus is coming. It's something we do because the Lord could come at any moment. And will we be ready? You see, Isaiah says wait. But he doesn't say wait and do nothing. He says wait, but he doesn't say stand still while you're waiting. It's more like let everything that you do and say reflect that anticipation, that expectation that you have about Christ's imminent return. Wait, but do the work. And if waiting is hard, the work is hard too. Strengthening crooked roads, that's the work. Strengthening the winding, tangled interpersonal relationships in this world, that's the work. In as much as depends on us, right? Romans 12:18. It's tiring work. Leveling mountains that have been growing is hard work. Filling valleys that have separated people for years is hard work. That's why only a few are prepared to actually do that work. Smoothing out the rough ground in readiness for and in honor of Jesus. Doing all of these things while we wait for the sake of Jesus. It's tough slugging, I can tell you. But that is what we're meant to be about as the church. As one crying out into the wilderness, make way, for here comes the Lord. We do it as a church to the glory of God because none of us know how long this hard work is going to continue. We just don't know. But we keep going. And as Pastor Ryan read on, when we think we're too weak to carry on, when we think we're just about done, the Lord doesn't leave us alone in that. Verse 28 of Isaiah 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So our hope comes because God is at work in us, whether we're up to the work or not. Our hope is found in that truth, that in our weariness, in our human frailties, we can even then cry out to God, say, God, I can't go on. When we're weak, there's always his power. And that waiting, that exhaustion, I mean, that's a universal thing in the church, isn't it? I think so. I mean, What is Isaiah saying? It's not just a certain age group that gets tired first. Isaiah says, young men, youth, they grow tired. They grow weary of this work that we're doing while we wait. What would the young be tired of in the church? I don't know, it could be any one of a number of things. Tired of waiting for a place to live out their calling. Tired of waiting to be allowed to lead. Tired of waiting to live out the life that God has called them to lead when the system or the machine doesn't allow that. Just tired. Whatever the reason that the tiredness comes, Isaiah says, but if you wait on him, you will renew your hope. As you wait expectantly on Jesus, you, through him, will rise up like the wings of an eagle do. You'll run once again. You'll be strong once again because you'll have been newly filled by God in that time of waiting. But then that... Doesn't that bring us back to the questions I asked earlier? Who's good at waiting? Who of us loves to watch the little thing go round and round while the page is not loading? Do you realize, I don't want to get into all first world problems and stuff, but do you realize how uptight we get when the web page doesn't load in less than 5 seconds? Seriously, how busy are we? But as we've also heard, there are things that are worth waiting for. There are things that we didn't understand the blessing was going to come at the end of, and we just wanted to be rescued from while we were going through it, but God said, no, this has all got a point to it. Wait. Just wait. One of the reasons I think that we don't like waiting is that the enemy convinces us that we shouldn't have to wait. The enemy convinces us that God's holding back from you the good stuff. I mean, if God really loved you, why would he make you wait? Boy, there must be a problem with your and he relationship, huh? I also blame Burger King for this. Have it your way, they said. Have it your way. Get what you want right now when you want it. The very first temptation in Scripture, an element of that was Satan saying to Adam and Eve, you know God's just jerking you around, right? You know he's just making you wait. He's holding back the good stuff from you. You know that, right? And they all went, really? And that's where we are, in a fallen world. But the biblical truth about what God is doing while we wait is a completely different message. God, through the voice of the prophet Isaiah, says just the opposite, that great things come because of the waiting. Great things happen when we wait. And John 14, which Pastor Ryan also read this morning, paints an even more vivid picture of what's happening during that waiting. You see, Isaiah was looking at the first advent, the first coming of Messiah. John 14, in the words of Jesus himself, well, now we're looking at the second advent, that period that we're still in, that waiting that you and I are still doing. And it's funny that the opening words of chapter 14 are very similar to the opening words of Isaiah 40. Peace and comfort. John 14, 1-3 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Isaiah opened up by saying, comfort, comfort my people. Now, in context, to be fair, let not your hearts be troubled is likely Jesus responding to the news that the disciples just heard that Peter was going to deny Jesus. So coming off the back of that, they're sort of like, I can't believe this is going to happen. And he's like, don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. The Lord then goes on to provide the means of having that trouble removed from our hearts. Trusting God. Trusting God is the antidote for a troubled heart. Just trust God. Give everything over to him. That's what we talked about last Sunday here. Let him handle everything in his time and in his way. Just, you know, Jesus, take the wheel, right? Just let him have it. The Christian faith is built on trusting in God, trusting in the saving work in the name of Jesus, trusting in God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And not only for what will happen in eternity, what is waiting, but also for what is now. Trust in God for now. The kingdom of God is both now and not yet. And then what happens in this do not let your heart be troubled reminder from Jesus is he goes on to say, and here's what's going on while you're waiting, by the way, that you may not be aware of. It's an illustration that is so lush with meaning. While we're waiting, Jesus is doing something. He's preparing a place for us. In my Father's house are many rooms. I think it's the King James that says mansions. Baptists like that one. Mansions. Rooms. The point being, they're dwelling places. Places to stay forever. They're not staying places. Right? This is the difference between a home and a hotel room. One is meant for a stay. One is meant to live. To dwell. And that word, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. This is not a short time stay that God is preparing us for. It's a forever stay with him. It's eternity with him. So the disciples hear this and they think, cool, let's go there now. Enough with this place. Enough with the Romans. Enough with all of this stuff. Enough with this fallen world. Let's go. But Jesus says, no, you got to wait. You got to wait until all that I'm promising you today comes to pass. He says in verses 2 and 3 that he's going to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So at God's appointed time, Jesus returns. That's the second coming. That's the advent we're waiting for. He will come back and will take those who have been faithful to that place that he was preparing for them all along while they were waiting. We've been waiting. Well, not we. The church has been waiting for 2,000 years. We're still waiting. But there will come a moment when God will say, now. And at that moment, all of the waiting will be over. And from what we can read in the book of Revelation, from Jesus' own words here, boy, the wait is going to be worth it. I was visiting with one of our seniors a couple of weeks back for Christmas, and we were talking about heaven, actually. She had one of the healthiest statements about heaven, but also about the reality that we're talking about this morning, this waiting idea that comes before heaven. She said this. Some of you will probably know who this is when you hear this quote. She said, I'm ready to go, but I'm not in a hurry. Ah. And I just had to sit with that for a while, because that's a person that knows how to wait on the Lord. I'm ready to go, but I'm not in a hurry. She knows that his timing is right. She knows that her work, though, of road straightening and valley filling and obstacle removing here on earth isn't done yet. So she waits. She's ready to see his face, but not in a hurry to finish her work. She's a member of God's household. She's an active part of his kingdom, both in the now and in the not yet. And today she waits, knowing in whom she has placed her saving faith, knowing that his promises are always fulfilled. So she's ready to go, but not in a hurry. I love it. So in both of our readings this morning, the Isaiah 40 reading, the John 14 reading, the reader, us, the hearer, is instructed to wait for what God has planned to come to fruition. And I've admitted it, and some of us have admitted, that waiting is hard. Waiting is so hard. But we've also heard that that waiting can be more beneficial than if we were to get that immediate satisfaction and gratification that we were looking for. I'm learning. I have struggled with impatience, but I'm learning, and I think it's coming with age. I'm sorry to report. I'm not given to New Year's resolutions, but I'm confident that in 2020 I'm going to be doing a whole lot of waiting on God. So I wait. I pray the same for you. I want to end this with a couple of questions for you. We're not going to go around with a microphone and answer them. You can treat them as rhetorical questions if you want. You can treat them as homework if you want. Here they are. All of this has been about the second advent, the second arrival, the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if that matters to you. Does it even matter to you? Because if it mattered, that would affect the anticipation sense that you live with, or the expectancy that you live with. Does his second coming matter? I mean, think about the words in the Lord's Prayer that we pray that things would happen on earth as it is in heaven. Those words have weight, don't they? Second question. When Jesus returns, as he promised that he will, what will he find you doing? What will you have been spending your time doing? I mean, let me frame it another way. If today is your last day before Jesus comes tomorrow, will you have spent it in a way that brought glory to God? What will he find you doing when he returns at a time of God's choosing? Praise team, come on up. So my prayer is this, church, that we're ready to encounter Jesus despite the tiredness that comes from the waiting. That we're spiritually preparing as we wait. That we're excitedly anticipating as we wait. Like I say, I don't have a death wish, but today would be a great day for Jesus to come. Amen? Today would be an excellent day to see the Lord's face finally. But if today is not that day, we wait. As our closing song says, may we wait hungry. May we wait on our knees. May we wait offering all that we have and all that we are, submitting to his perfect timing in all things. Let's sing that together.